Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. We've got a couple power hours for you, and I am excited. Well, you know, if you listen often enough, I ask you a question every day. Usually it's multiple questions, and here you go. First question is, do you dare to pray prayers that scare you? Do you dare to pray prayers that scare you? Do you have a dream that's so big, but faith that's so small, you feel like the two shall never meet? It'll never happen. Well, Mark Batterson joins me today to share with us a radically different approach to life. It's approach to chasing God-sized dreams. This is the sequel to his amazing, famous book, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. This book just released. It's called Chase the Lion. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. In just typical Batterson fashion, this thing will stoke your flame and fuel your faith. I'm so excited to talk with Mark about this. We've got four copies of his great book to give away during this hour. Second hour, this is week two of 6 weeks in a row where we're walking through the content of my book, Your Powerful Prayers. Thanks to my publisher, we'll be giving another five copies away, hour two. We'll be just talking about what it means to pray when you forget who you are. So that's hour two. Well, I got to tell you, and I tweeted Mark Batterson about this a couple weeks ago, but if you listen often enough, you know I'm having some kind of significant health challenges that are just getting old. And my hubby and I were driving on our way to a speaking event, and I saw a tweet by Mark, and I knew that he'd had asthma, really serious asthma, since he was a little guy. And I saw a tweet that he'd been healed. And so I clicked on it and watched the video in the car on the way. And I'm so weary from feeling miserable, if I can be honest with you. I cried from Des Moines to Springfield. I cried from Des Moines, Iowa to Springfield, Missouri. Cried all the way through this message. And we prayed afterward. It was such a great message for me. And I'm going to ask Mark just to share a little bit about what he learned. I tweeted this to him, and I will tell you, it was the most balanced, powerful message on healing I've ever heard. So I cannot wait for you to hear what Mark has to say. Before I get him on, I want to read from his book, The Lion Chaser's Manifesto, just to give you a little hint of what you're in for today. You ready? Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Run to the roar. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-given passions. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. Stop pointing out problems. Become part of the solution. Stop repeating the past. Start creating the future. Face your fears. Fight for your dreams. Grab opportunity by the mane and don't let go. Live life today like today is the first day and the last day of your life. Burn sinful bridges, blaze new trails, live for the applause of nail-scarred hands. Love that. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Dare to fail, dare to be different, quit holding out, quit holding back, quit running away, chase the lion. Oh, don't you just love that? Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Mark Batterson is a New York Times bestselling author several times over. He's the founder and lead pastor of National Community Church, one church with seven locations. Also, NCC also owns and operates Ebenezer's. It's the largest coffee house on Capitol Hill. He has a Doctor of Ministry degree from Regent University. He lives on Capitol Hill with his wife, Laura, and their three children. Honored to have him with us today. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Oh, Susie, I always anticipate our conversations. This is wonderful.
Good. Well, looking forward to the conversation. I know you're such a busy guy. So, Mark, you've been on the show enough times to know that we love to start out talking scripture, and I know you're somebody who loves God's word. Is there a verse you've been just thinking about pondering these days you can share with us?
Well, you know, I think your favorite verse of scripture ultimately becomes the script of your life. And so my life verse is Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works prepared for us in advance. That fills me with a sense of destiny. I believe God is setting us up. He's in the business of putting us in the right place at the right time. And hopefully that instills a little holy confidence in your listeners today.
Wow, so good. And for those who don't know about In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, give us a little context of Benaiah's story and what it did to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's this amazing verse kind of tucked away in the Old Testament. It says that Benaiah chased a lion into a pit on a snowy day and killed it. And, you know, when you read that, I'm thinking to myself, if you're in a pit with a lion on a snowy day, you've got a problem, probably the last problem you'll ever have. But it looks awfully good on your resume if you're applying for a bodyguard position with the king of Israel. Of course, Benaiah becomes King David's bodyguard, eventually commander-in-chief under King Solomon. But I think his success traces back to this flight or fight moment, and he doesn't run away he's afraid of. He runs to the roar, Susie, and I believe that that's what God has called each one of us to.
I would say, you know, I know that your script, your verse, Ephesians 2:10, that totally makes sense, but I would even say this story has undergirded you so much of your adult life, wouldn't you?
It has, and it really is a life motto or life message for me. It's this idea of playing offense with your life, Susie, that, you know, too many people focus on not doing anything wrong, but you can do nothing wrong and still do nothing right. I just don't think God has called us to break even. And it's not really the sins of commission, you know, what we do wrong that break the heart of God, as much as the sins of omission, what we would have, could have, and should have done. And so, you know, I think the message of the book is potential is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift back to God. Now, come on, let's play offense with our lives. Let's chase the lion.
Indeed. And here's an excerpt. I think I tweeted this. At the end of our lives, our greatest regrets will be the God-ordained opportunities we left on the table, the God-given passions we didn't pursue, and the God-sized dreams we didn't go after because we let fear dictate our decisions. Why don't you just even paint a picture? Because I think this is a reality for many, if not most Christians, playing not to lose versus playing to win. I know that's what you're talking about, defense, offense. But truly, when you're playing not to lose, self-preservation is such a huge motivator, but that is contrary to kingdom mentality. It seems like they can't cohabitate together, right?
They can't. And, you know, Jesus told this parable of the talents where the man buried his talent and then returned exactly what he'd be given. And, you know, in one sense, that's breaking even, but Jesus calls it wicked that there's no return on investment. I think God's standards are higher than that, and he wants us to take some of those God-ordained risks. In fact, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. You have to take some risks along the way, and you know, there is no 100% money-back guarantee. At some point, you can't play it safe. You've got to take a risk. And when we do, I think that's when we begin to experience the sovereignty of God in a way that really changes our lives.
Well, truly, you don't even know the grace or the power or the activation, I would say, of the empowering grace of God until you're engaged, until you're driving, until you need it, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, God isn't going to say well said or well thought. At the end of the day, he's going to say well done. And so, you know, I have a bias for action. And in fact, I live by a little motto, go set ready. You're never going to be ready. But at some point, you've got to step out in faith and activate it. And when we do, I think that's when God begins to intervene and we begin to see that his grace is sufficient and he's the one that's going to help us do what it is he's called us to do.
You know, I often say that God's will for us is our best case scenario. I mean, it fits who we are. It fits the story he's writing with our lives. But there's also a greater implication to us playing defense versus offense, playing not to lose. It's the ripple effect of those we were intended to touch. And Mark, I'd love for you just to paint a bigger picture of what that means if the multitudes play let fear win the day versus faith.
Yeah, I think, you know, Susie, if we were to kind of zoom out and look at this through a wide angle, our dream is really a dream within a dream. There are people who dreamed before us that made our dream possible. And then our legacy is not our dream. I think it's actually the dreams that we inspire in others. And so I don't think we always know the difference that we're making when we pursue our dreams, but it makes all the difference in the world. And the truth is, if Benaiah and these 37 mighty men hadn't pursued their dreams, David would have never become king. And so somehow, some way, our dreams are actually setting up our family and friends and the people in our lives in a providential way.
And you know, it's truly amazing, because when you take on a mountain and you put it under your feet and you testify about it, it just seems that testimony builds faith in everybody else to say, man, if he can do it for him, he can do it for me. I have my own mountain. I have my own giant. But man, when you see somebody else daring to take on the giant, it does inspire faith for you. Who were those people for you, Mark? I mean, I think I know the answer to this, but I'd love for you to share.
Yeah, well, you know, I pastored a church in D.C. here for 20 years, and you could say, well, you know, that dream is 20 years old, but the truth is, in 1967, my father-in-law started a church in the Chicago area. He started it before I was born, Susie, but really my dream of pastoring one church for life is a dream within a dream. And then, of course, I think of my grandfather, who was the first municipal judge in Fridley, Minnesota. And so, you know, I have roots in the Minneapolis area. And I think about how his prayers for me are still being answered in my life. He died when I was six, but Elmer Johnson is still making a difference in my life, because our prayers outlive us. And so it's always a dream within a dream, a prayer within a prayer. And I think when we begin to think that way, then life becomes this beautiful tapestry, and we see how the way God weaves our lives together in a way that's way beyond our ability to fully understand and appreciate. But again, it's the sovereignty of God.
Talking to best-selling author and pastor Mark Batterson about his brand-new release, Chase the Lion. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. I'm just thinking this might be another one of those bestsellers. I've got four copies of this great hardcover book. Email me, since I'm not taking calls today. Get in on the drawing this way, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie, S-U-S-I-E, @myfaithradio.com. Give me a name, mailing address, and put Chase the Lion somewhere in there. If you've got a question for Mark, include that, and I'll try to get that on the air as well. When we come back, we're going to talk about the idea that our destiny, it's not a mystery, Mark says. It's actually a decision. And then what do you do when you finally catch the lion or you're facing your giant? What do you do then? How do you stand in opposition as you live out the call of God? More with Mark Batterson on the other side. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to best-selling author and pastor, one of my favorite guys all around, I got to say, Mark Batterson, author of the brand new book, Chase the Lion. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. Telling you, this is a word, a now word for the church, because it is time to be dreaming big dreams, praying prayers that only God accomplished, because our world needs our influence, God's influence on the earth today, and he works through his people. We've got four copies of this amazing hardcover book to get into your hands. I'm not taking calls. I want to give Mark as much time as possible. So email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, and put Chase the Lion somewhere in there so I know this is the book you're vying for. Okay, talk if you would, Mark, about the idea that our destiny is not a mystery, it's a decision. Because oftentimes, I think if it floats around in our heads as a mystery, then we think it'll just sort of land on us suddenly without much effort on our part. So talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I think that sometimes we approach the will of God as if it's rolling dice but the truth is we make decisions every single day, and those decisions have an effect, and then they have a cumulative effect. And so I try to take a little bit of the mystery out of it, and again, not reduce the sovereignty of God, but we've got to make the right decisions day in and day out. And of course, one of the things I talk about is this idea of pre-decisions, and it's the decisions before you make the decision, which those decisions add up, and over time, I think they ultimately dictate who we become. And you know, it's there's no mystery, Susie. You have to make a decision to go to the gym or not and work out. You have to make a decision what foods you're going to put on your plate. You make a decision whether you're going to go to church this weekend or not. Those decisions are what ultimately determine our destiny.
Well, even the decision within the decision seems so important as far as what's motivating us behind it all, Mark. And, you know, as a writer myself, there's just times, you know, I mean, I've learned a lot by watching you, because I think in one of your books you even said you just purposely don't engage the nitpickers because you've got a mission to do. And that's helped me so much, because they are out there and they can wear you out. And I've seen on Facebook other authors who say, I'm cashing it in. I've had it with, you know, nitpicking and stone throwing. I'm tired, and I get it. And yet for me, there's times when I wanted to just breathe a heavy sigh, and I don't get it a lot, but when you do, it hurts your feelings. But that's where the Lord has had me look up and say, who are you doing that for? And is the goal to feed the sheep and to strengthen the church, or is it to, you know, win the applause of man? And I've heard this on different stories too, Mark, where you hear someone say, I tried serving at church. They never thanked me. So forget that. So this has to go back to what motivates us and what's the ultimate goal, because that will either sustain us or ruin us if we're looking for the applause in the wrong place. Love for you to speak to that.
Yeah. You know, I think it is so important that we do what we do for the right reasons. And, you know, some people, they have a dream, but it's fame and fortune. Listen, that's not going to fulfill you. You need a dream that is God-sized and has eternal ramifications. And I think the way you get that, first of all, is by getting into the Word of God, and then you get into the presence of God through prayer, and God begins to birth something in your heart and in your life, Susie. And, you know, it can't be selfish in nature, or again, God's blessing isn't going to be on it. Ultimately, we need a dream that's going to honor God and advance His kingdom. And but listen, that can be a business, that can be an idea that God has given you, and then you need the courage to go after it. And as you do, then God begins to intervene and do some amazing things.
You know, and Scripture talks about don't look to the left, don't look to the right. So even if you're on mission, let's say you have a God-sized dream that has eternal ramifications, you may catch the lion, you will face the Goliath, you will face the naysayers that Nehemiah faced on the wall, and yet he modeled so well. You know, I'm not bothering with you, I've got a job to do. Maybe speak to that issue, because it does take courage to stay focused and stay fixed on the goal.
Yeah, you know, if you listen to the people that try to distract you or discourage you, you're just not going to get very far. I think at the end of the day, you really do need to keep your eyes fixed on Christ and on the cross. And I've made it a point to try to be unoffendable, Susie, that, listen, all of us are going to experience criticism. In fact, if you aren't being criticized, I wonder how much of a difference you're actually making. But when you experience that criticism, you got to put it through the filter of Scripture. And if it goes through the filter, then you ought to repent of whatever it is that's being criticized. But if it doesn't, then you need to keep on keeping on and stay true to the calling that God has for you.
Boy, that's so good. Talk about how we've got about 3.5 minutes to the bottom of the hour break, but I'd love for you to just to speak to how the Holy Spirit actually implants a dream in our hearts. I've heard you say before, Mark, where when we're walking intimately with God, there's a measure of our dream. As you say, we measure it through Scripture, but that we can trust some of the dreams that God puts in our hearts. So talk about that dynamic and how it plays out.
Yeah, I think readers will enjoy the way I kind of weave this inception idea into the book that our dreams are a dream within a dream. But then I really talk about how I think the Holy Spirit has a way of conceiving dreams in our heart. You know, for me, that's been books or the church that I have the privilege of pastoring. I call them God ideas, and I'd rather have one God idea than 1,000 good ideas. And what I think happens is the Holy Spirit begins to conceive these desires or dreams or ideas within us. But then in my experience, you need the courage to take that first step. You know, you can't finish what you don't start. And I think for many listeners, they're probably just one phone call, one application, one meeting away from the dream that God has for them. They just need to take that first step of faith to act on the idea that God's put on their heart. And when we do, then God always meets us more than halfway.
And this is why this message is so important, Mark, because you just have to watch the news for too long and you want to cover your head and think, well, it's all over, but the shouting. Now I just have to hang on and hold on till Jesus returns, which is, you know, hunker down theology really isn't biblical. This is a time. I mean, truly, if we look up and things are shaking, this is a time for an entrepreneurial spirit. This is a time for people to rise up and see a need and fill a niche. And this is why we're living and breathing on the earth for such a time as this, isn't it?
It is, and I would remind folks that I've read the end of the book, Susie, and we win. The kingdom of God is unstoppable. Listen, it's funny, pastoring, you know, in D.C. during an election cycle, and in my experience, it sure seems like there's a lot of nervousness right now. But if I can just remind us that the kingdom of God predates our democracy and the wonderful country that we have the privilege of living in, and it will post-date our country. Listen, the kingdom of God, if you were betting on the Roman Empire versus 120 people in the upper room, you'd probably bet on the Roman Empire, but you'd be wrong. The kingdom of God is going to prevail. And of course, we have the privilege of being a part of it. And we want to see his kingdom come, his will be done. And I think that part of that is chasing the lion. It's going after these dreams and seeing those dreams become a reality.
Boy, that's fantastic. Just about 30 seconds here, but I'm going to squeeze in one more question. If you were to guess, how often would you say that we as believers dismiss those dreams for whatever reason, fear, self-preservation, or we just toss it away like we're a have-not? Do you think that happens more often than not?
There are opportunities all around us all the time, every single day, to show a small act of kindness or to step out and pursue a dream. You know, we've got to just dial into those little promptings of the Holy Spirit, and when we're obedient to those, then God has a way of taking those little acts of obedience and doing something big with them.
So maybe you're listening right now and your heart's doing a pitter-patter. I just see a gal who, Venice, I think is her name. She says, I have a God-sized dream to help in human trafficking. It's so big, I feel almost paralyzed by it. I would love the book. So many of you have dreams, and I think your heart is stirring now, and I pray that you won't rest till you get with God and figure out what your next steps are going to be. We're going to talk about some of the practical steps to walking out those God-sized dreams. More with Mark Batterson in just a moment. You're having a great day. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're getting all kinds of emails. I love hearing from you. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author Pastor Mark Batterson about his brand new fantastic book, Chase the Lion. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. One of my favorite things you said before the break a little bit ago was if you were betting on the Roman Empire versus 120 people in the upper room, you might not have bet on the disciples, but you'd have been wrong. Absolutely amazing when you think about it. And us with God is the majority. I should say God with us. So, Mark, you know, I mentioned at the open of the show, I was traveling to a speaking event, feeling a little beat up by some of these goofy health challenges I've been working through. And I saw a tweet from you, and you were doing a series at your church on moving mountains. And this particular tweet and video is a sermon that you added to an extra week to the series because something happened that you hadn't expected, so to speak. Would you tell us that story?
I would love to tell you that story. You know, for me, it goes back 43 years, Susie. My earliest memory is an asthma attack. And woke up in the middle of the night. And, you know, I think we went to, if I remember right, North Memorial. So a hospital right there in the Minneapolis area. And I got a shot of adrenaline. And we made that trip to the hospital many, many nights. I've had asthma my entire life. Never gone anywhere without an inhaler. Would take it every single day. But that changed 66 days ago. It's hard for me to even describe, and it should be because it's a miracle. I believe that the Lord healed me. I have not taken an inhaler in 66 days. There aren't 66 days in my entire life where I haven't taken an inhaler cumulatively. And so I'm kind of living in this place of almost shock and awe, Susie. I prayed hundreds of times that God would heal me, and it didn't happen. But I felt like I needed to keep praying, keep believing. And I want to be careful here. I Oswald Chambers said, let God be as original with others as he was with you. So the way God might heal you will probably be different than the way he healed me. But here's what I know for sure. He's able. And right now, my faith is on fire because God did something that honestly, it was the bravest prayer I could pray, and it was the most unbelievable miracle I could believe for. But I'm living in a place of healing, and I hope that that sparks some faith in those who are listening today.
Well, and that was the question I think you'd asked towards the beginning of that particular sermon was, what is the bravest prayer you could pray? And you thought for yourself, because I've asked for this thousands of times, this would be the bravest prayer I could pray. And I think it's easy, especially when you deal with health things, to kind of sit back, you know, after you've tried everything, to just go, this is the way it is. And there are people, godly people, who live and die with an illness. And I get that, too. But it was such a challenge to me, Mark. Another thought that was so challenging is that you're this guy. You always say, work like it all depends on you, pray like it all depends on God. And as you started to study about breathing, you'd learned because of the trauma to your lungs, you'd learn to breathe wrong. So now, as a healed guy, you're still applying yourself to relearning some things and unlearning some things that you had to use to cope when you were in the wilderness, so to speak.
Yeah, I am. You know, I feel like God can deliver us from something, but you've got to back up that deliverance or that healing with some spiritual disciplines. And so what I've tried to do is back up that healing with some with the way I exercise, with the things that I eat, with really taking care of my body, with doing breathing exercises. And I'm a totally different person than I was 66 days ago. And so continue to praise God for it. And, you know, Susie, I think we take about 23,000 breaths every day. And in my estimation, we owe God about 23,000 thank yous every day. I do not take it for granted. But I praise God for his healing. And the truth is, the way we steward miracles is by believing God for even bigger and better miracles. So God's healed me, but now I'm believing him for some miracles in some other areas of my life.
Boy, that is so good. You know, in Psalms, it talks about how the Israelites refused to believe the promise. This is my paraphrase. They refused to believe the promise written over their lives, and they refused to obey God. So they stayed in their tents, and they grumbled, and they refused to obey the Lord. So here, on one hand, they reject the idea that there's a promise written over their lives and that God is able to fulfill it. So they stay in their small circumstances, and then they grumble. And I think, Mark, as I've just thought so much about their journey and our faith and how we settle, and then we blame God. Now, I want to say this carefully, but for the Christ follower, I don't think there's ever grounds for our grumbling, ever, because he's given us these great and precious promises. Doesn't say we're not going to have hard times, but even in the hard times, there's a way to steward it that either moves us through those hard times or moves us back from them, don't you think?
I believe that's true, and I'm actually able to look back on, 43 years suffering with asthma, and I'm actually able to praise God for it. Mm-hmm. I see how God used that in my life and some of the lessons that maybe I wouldn't have learned any other way. And so praise God. He helped me get through that. But I would also challenge people to continue to believe, continue to pray, and continue to seek God for that miracle.
So good. Here's another excerpt I'd love you to comment on. You're right. I need a life goal to keep me going. I need a noble cause to keep me committed. I need a God-sized dream to keep me from getting demotivated. We don't die when our heart stops beating. We die when our hearts stop skipping a beat in pursuit of our passions, when our heart stops breaking for the things that break the heart of God. I want you to speak to that person listening today, and they're just doing a heart check now, going, you know what? I don't have a life goal. I don't have a noble cause. I don't even have a God-sized dream. In fact, I am demotivated. I've not even thought lately about what breaks God's heart. I've been living in this smaller story. What advice do you have? Just first steps even that they can take?
Yeah, well, the encouraging news is that there are a lot of people in the Bible that would fit that profile, mm-hmm, Susie. Yeah. But God has a way of showing up at those moments in our lives where, honestly, we've almost given up hope, and has a way of speaking into our lives or even showing up in a burning bush. And, one of my prayers as an author, and I know this is your prayer too, that God would put my books in the right hands at the right time. And the timing is critical. I pray that as people read Chase the Lion, that it would reignite something, that it would bring something to life. And, if we're breathing, it means that God's not done with us yet, that there are still plans and purposes for our life. And sometimes you just kind of have to hang in there. I love this little phrase in the Bible, Susie, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're in a season where you've just got to hang in there, and God's going to get you through it and get you to the other side. And when he does, you might even be able to look back and thank him for the things that he's brought you through.
Mm. You also wrote that we live in a culture that idolizes success and demonizes failure. But then you further write, but in God's kingdom, the outcome is not the issue. Here again, Mark, is a paradigm shift. I think if we don't have this paradigm shift, we won't have a sustainable faith because our goals will be on the wrong thing. So speak to the idea that God's kingdom, in his kingdom, the outcome isn't the issue for us. It is for him. I mean, he results are up to him.
Yeah. I share a fun story of an NFL quarterback who was kind enough to endorse the book. And I share a little bit about his career. It was not a 45-degree angle to success. In fact, he rode the bench for a couple of years. But what I love about him and the point I make in the book is that it's not about a win-loss record. It's not about what we call success or failure. It's just about obeying God. Obedience is the end goal, is the end game. And I even try to share some stories in the book of people that, chased the line and it didn't quite turn out the way that they wanted. But I don't consider them failures because they did exactly what God called them to do. And it's a little bit different way of measuring than the way that the world measures. But I think at the end of the day, that's the only measure that counts.
Boy, if we could step back, like you say, and get a wide-angle lens, though, and think that life on earth is short, eternity is long, and that God moves on acts prompted by our faith. So even, the step we take here, the cup of cold water we give, the seeds we sow, if we were to see how vastly they're rippling in heaven and the multiplication that God, allows for in heaven, I think we would be just all out on earth. But we can't get that glimpse of eternity too often, you know what I mean? And we think small then.
We do, and there will be a ripple effect. And the good news is that none of those good deeds, no prayer, no sacrifice made gets overlooked. They earn compound interest for eternity. And that's why we've got to keep our eye on that end goal. And that is, of course, the glory of God.
Boy, this is so good. You said that the will of God is not an insurance plan. It's, in fact, a dangerous plan. You said the will of God may get us killed, but if God gets the glory, mission accomplished. I love that you wrote that, Mark, because we've got heroic brothers and sisters who are jumping in the flames for the sake of the gospel. And I think our comfort security message that we love so much in America, which, you know what I mean, who doesn't want to be comfortable and secure? But really, again, it's contrary to that biblical courage that Jesus calls us to.
Yeah, and Jesus didn't die on the cross just to keep us safe. He died to make us dangerous. And we're called to play offense with our faith and to really make a difference. And when you read Hebrews 11, you know, I wish I could say that every story ended happily ever after. But, you know, some of those stories end in martyrdom. But I would say that they all end in happily forever after, that we aren't living for just this life that we have on earth. We're living for eternal glory, and we've got to have that perspective as we look at and measure our lives.
You know, reading stories and covering it on the show that Muslims are coming to faith in Christ in droves, and often, time and time again, what's moving the hearts of some of these people who are carrying out wicked acts against Christians is the countenance of love and peace and joy on the face of the person who's about to give their life because they won't recant their faith. And it so unnerves their persecutor that they are compelled behind the scenes to go, what is that? That they would look at me and not even be afraid. In fact, they're honored to die for their faith. I was thinking of that passage. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And Mark, so often that's where people end that passage. But the rest of it is, and they love not their lives, even unto death. I feel like as you think about this idea of chasing the lion, this is something we are going to have to consider in America, I think. If we want to be used mightily by God, somehow we've got to love not our life. I mean, truly follow his lead, but get a bigger picture of what obedience might look like for us.
That's so good, Susie. I don't have much to add to that because I think you hit the bullseye right there. The only thing I would add is that when you have truly died to self, you don't fear death. You live in you live with a certain fearlessness. And again, you know, perfect love casts out all fear, 1 John 4:18. So sometimes we think of love as a very sentimental thing, but the truth is the byproduct of love is fearlessness, and it allows us to live in a way that that we aren't afraid of death because we've already died to ourselves.
I want that in my heart more than anything in the whole world. It's my prayer every single day. Talking to Mark Batterson, I can see this is resonating with you. Email me. Keep those emails coming. I want your name in the drawing. I've got 4 copies to get into your hands. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name and mailing address. A bunch of you emailed me with no mailing address. Put Chase the Lion in that email as well. When we come back, we're going to talk about due diligence, steps of faith, chasing the lion according to God's direction in your life. You know what I mean? Not getting ahead of God or falling behind. More with Mark Batterson in a moment. That song play out, You Make Me Brave. So good. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Mark Batterson, New York Times bestselling author, pastor, wonderful, humble man of God. His new book titled Chase the Lion, If Your Dream Doesn't Scare You, It's Too Small. We're giving away copies. You want your name in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, and 4 of you will get a copy. Probably will end up in your mailbox next week, beginning of next week. Okay, Mark, you write this, and I thought this was so key. Before you take a step of faith, get the facts. Dumb, doesn't honor God. Due diligence does. Do your homework. Faith doesn't ignore the facts, but it doesn't ignore God either. It confronts brutal facts with unwavering faith. It carefully counts the cost and then adds Almighty God into the final equation. Unpack that a bit more in practical terms for the person who's getting a God-sized dream and wondering what next.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's a couple of factors that come into play. If you're going to go after a dream, you know, I think you're going to have to do your homework. You might need to get an education to set the table for whatever it is that you want to pursue. I would encourage people to get lots of godly input. In fact, it'd be wonderful if you have a spiritual father or spiritual mother that can speak into your life, and we all need a multitude of counselors. So I guess what I'm saying is don't ignore the circumstances, the facts, but at the same time, you've got to give God veto power. He's got to have the final word, and you've got to be obedient. So, you know, Susie, it comes back to kind of living in the tension, and you know sort of how I think and how I operate. In fact, you just quoted it in the last segment that, you know, you pray like it depends on God, you work like it depends on you, and I think this is a similar principle. So, for example, maybe there's a situation that you need to go and see a doctor. Well, go ahead and see the doctor, but I'd also get a second opinion from the great physician. And you don't ignore either one, but you got to let faith be a part of that equation as you pursue that dream.
Mm. Love to hear a story, Mark, from your own life about a time when you had a strong sense of God's dream for you and kind of a next place of promise, and you maybe felt ready and God was giving you the not yet. Talk about living in that tension where you realize he's making you wait because he's making you ready, and how you stored your own appetites, your own perspective, and even your lot lines in that place.
Yeah, I love that question. You know, I've tried to manufacture a couple of miracles in my time, and usually doesn't work out so well when I try to make it happen. But, you know, I think writing is a good example. I felt called to write when I was 22, but I didn't write a book until I was 35, and those 13 years were incredibly frustrating. In fact, I was about ready to give up on the dream, but you know what I realized looking back on it? If I had written a book at 22, I probably would have had to write one a few years later, retracting everything I said.
Just title
22.
It, Never Mind.
I think the Lord was gracious, and you know, it would have been all theory and no experience. So God knew that I needed to chase a few lines before I actually wrote about it. And his timing at the end of the day is perfect. And you know, our dreams are probably going to take longer and they're going to be harder than what we anticipate. But it's not even about accomplishing the dream. It's about who you become in the process. And as long as you keep that your focus, I think it gives you the endurance you need to get to the end.
Well, like you said at the beginning of the show, that the scripture, you know, our life verses tend to be our life script. And one of my passages is Psalm 18 about how he trains my hands for battle, that my arms can bend a bow of bronze, you know, teaches me to stand on high places. That's just been one I've gone back to again and again. And it's just been true in my life where I've seen every obstacle, every hardship has actually been like sparring practice. And it's made me spiritually agile. Where I look back and go, don't want to go through it again, but I wouldn't trade it. I'd love for you to speak to that whole training process. And when you look back, Mark, at some of the giants that you've had to take out and the lions you've chased and even just obstacles you've had to forge through, anything about the process surprise you looking back now?
Well, I think there's you see that process actually in David's life. Before he fought the giant, he had to fend off some lions and bears from his sheep. And so we don't always see the way that God is working while it's happening. But then in hindsight, we can look back and see how God uses those experiences to really prepare us for what he has in store. So I'm a big believer in the adversity effect, Susie, that the way that we grow into maturity and ultimately the way that God uses us is by enduring some of those tests, some of those challenges, and, you know, I forget who said it, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true of David and his mighty men. They endured some pretty challenging circumstances, including, you know, David living as a fugitive for so many years, but God redeemed all of it and finally prepared David for the throne. And by the time he took the throne, he was ready for it because of what God had done in his life.
Boy, so good. I think it was Dr. Mark Rutland who said on the show one day, you know what happens when you ask God to bless your work, right? He gives you more work. So he blesses your stewardship, so you have more work. And I don't know if that's the same idea where you're talking about chain reaction, but I'm guessing you're writing about in this section, I didn't get to it yet, but just kind of faith here is responsibility there. Where we steward this creates this chain reaction to later opportunities, later fruit, later battles. What say you?
Yeah, I think the blessings of God complicate our lives, but they're good complications. You know, the truth is sin will complicate your life in a way that you don't want it complicated. The blessings of God will complicate your life in a way that is actually a good thing, is actually a blessing, and it does. It creates this chain reaction, and it's those acts of obedience, those moments when we're faithful, that sometimes we don't see the net effect until years or decades later.
Mm. Just got a couple minutes here before we wrap and pray, Mark. But when, again, looking at your history, is there one particular dream, God-sized dream, that stands out that still makes you nauseous even though you're already walking it out? I mean, you know what I mean? Where you're like, I still can't believe I just dared to ask God about that. Any of those, or they seem like small mountains now that they're behind you?
You know, no, I think that's a fair question, and it's one that, you know, part of me almost hesitates saying it over the air, but, you know, I have some dreams that are still out there that I don't know how they're going to happen. For example, I put my faith in Christ after watching a Billy Graham film called The Hiding Place.
Wow.
And God used a movie to touch my 5-year-old heart. And one of my life goals is to be a part of producing a film. But Susie, I have no idea how that's going to happen or when or where. And it takes a little bit of courage, and I feel a little bit foolish putting it out there. But at the same time, I believe that it's something that God has put in my heart. And so somehow, some way, I believe God is going to bring it to pass. And for me, that's one of those 500-pound lions. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I believe that somehow, some way, God's going to bring it to pass.
Well, I'm just downright proud of you for speaking it out anyway, Mark. And I'll just be looking forward to having you back on the show to talk about your newly produced film. So that will be fun.
I love it.
Well, as we get ready to wrap, we're getting so many emails. You are really resonating, and I just am praying God gives this book wings. But wondering if you would pray for that person. I'm just thinking of gentleman listening today who's overworked, underjoyed, and realizing he's maybe even been hiding in a career that he hates. I just sense God wants him to come out and start to dream and pray again. Would you pray for that person?
Yeah, Lord, we stand on your promises today. And we thank you that he who began a good work in us is going to carry it to completion. God, you have conceived dreams and desires and ideas within us. And as people have listened to this broadcast, their hearts have skipped a beat. And Lord, maybe it's a dream that's been on a shelf for a long time, or a dream that has died. But God, we pray that you would resurrect it for your glory, that you would bring it to pass. Lord, we pray for supernatural synchronicities. Thank you that you order our footsteps. Thank you that you're setting us up in advance. Pray that you would give us the courage we need and the faith we need to keep on keeping on, in Jesus' name. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Well, Mark, I can't thank you enough for your example and just the way you stewarded your story and how God's been so faithful. Thank you for joining us today.
Susie, it is always a joy and privilege. Thank you so much.
Until next time, title of Mark's book is Chase the Lion. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. Man, I hope this stirred up your faith. Email me if you want in on that drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Coming up next for Hour 2, it's Week 2. I'm spending 6 weeks in a row walking through the content of my new book, Your Powerful Prayers. We'll be giving away 5 copies, and one of you will get a copy of the book and the DVD. I'm excited about that. What we're going to talk about this next hour is how to pray when you forget who you are. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.